Welcome to The Science of Self, a podcast brought to you by Peter Hollins and Newton Media Group. Today is Friday, December 10th, 2021. In this episode, entitled Novelty and Challenge, we draw from Peter Hollins' book, The Brain Boost Blueprint. A simple way to think about brain training is this: more exposure and more experience equals more brain cells and neural connections. This can be gained in easy ways, such as changing your daily routines or rituals, or simply stepping out of your comfort zone to seek more instances of unfamiliarity. Today's episode is taken from Peter Hollins' book, The Brain Boost Blueprint, and we examine novelty and challenge. Novelty and challenge. It's one thing to know how to respond to a stimulus you've seen a million times before. But how do you react to novel problems or ones that take a shape you've never encountered? How flexible and creative are you in adapting ideas, experimenting, truly observing what you see around you, and looking for patterns anew? This is what it means to live and think at the periphery of your abilities. While, of course, there's nothing wrong with training for a specific skill, there may ultimately be more to gain when you train your total ability to think, independent of the topic or the form your challenges take. There are some quite startling displays of the effect of novelty and challenge on the brain. There was the time in 1970 at Cambridge University that kittens were raised in environments where they could only see horizontal or vertical lines. They were placed in cylindrical containers with either horizontal or vertical lines on the walls, never both. When caretakers took them out to feed or handle the kittens, they wore clothing that was covered in either horizontal or vertical lines. For all intents and purposes, these two groups of kittens experienced different versions of reality. The kittens, it turned out, couldn't recognize objects or patterns of the kind that they weren't exposed to in their sealed-off environment. The kittens raised in the horizontal chambers could not see vertically aligned objects. They kept bumping into chair legs and weren't responsive when researchers thrust a finger toward them in a vertical direction. Meanwhile, the vertical cats couldn't find an appropriate place to lie down and take a nap, since they had no ability to recognize horizontal planes. Some of the kittens in the experiment successfully rehabilitated in a few weeks, but many never did. Their primary visual cortexes had been engineered so strongly in one angle that they were effectively blind to whatever lines they weren't exposed to during those 5 months. Then there's the case of taxi drivers and bus drivers in London. Researchers from the University of London studied and compared their brain structures in 2000 and discovered something notable. The taxi drivers had measurably larger hippocampi than the bus drivers. Why might this be? The story behind their findings was that taxi drivers had to essentially memorize the entire roadmap of London. They needed to know the best shortcuts and alternate courses to take, and that required in-depth knowledge about every street and alley in town. It's something that could take months or even years to learn. The bus drivers, on the other hand, only had to drive a couple of pre-planned routes every day with little or no variation. They only needed to memorize a few turns and perhaps not even the street names. They could do this through visual memory alone, recognizing buildings or landmarks. However many people are on the bus makes no difference to the bus driver, as they already know the path and endpoint. However, being a taxi driver is somewhat like playing Russian roulette. You never know what you're going to get or how to get there. Okay, maybe that's more Forrest Gump than Russian roulette. How do you practically develop a taxi driver's brain in the real world? Firstly, get out of mental ruts. Seek novelty in situations, ideas, the people you encounter, your own thoughts. Try something new. Keep fresh eyes on old problems and ask different questions. Take a different approach from what you normally would. Seek the harder, more difficult route instead of the tried and true. Eat something different. Walk a different path. Ask different questions. Secondly, challenge yourself. You could play it safe and continually work at a comfortable level, and your brain will happily comply. But it's only when you push yourself a little further that you can get an idea of what you're really capable of. Pushing yourself out of your comfort zone is like a thrilling sprint across the beach at max speed. It pushes your body to its limits, and it's utterly exhilarating. In the same way, be curious about how far your brain can go. Don't be too quick to be satisfied with the status quo. Become curious, rebellious even. It's this curiosity that, when at its height, is almost indistinguishable from intellectual excitement, from peak performance, from joy. Being in this state of mind is a deeply creative experience. It's experiencing the wonderful unknown. Scientists and artists have this in common. They're frequently in close contact with the mysterious and are trying their best to engage it, to speak about it, to represent it, to grasp it. Creativity feeds on itself. When we can think out of the box and look at things in novel, unexpected ways, we often solve previously tricky problems or open up entirely new avenues of thought. What this means, practically, is that when you're using your brain, remember to give it the opportunity to be limber so it can do what it does best. Take breaks. Unhook from intense, goal-driven activity for a while to just stare out the window, to doodle, to reset or laugh, or do something else for a moment. Give space for the unexpected to step in and change things for you. Take the problem apart in a different way. Creative thinking is the subject of more and more neuroscience research, but for the moment, we can take advice from those who practice it routinely, artists and other creatives. If you're feeling blocked or mentally stale and slow, step back. Flex your brain a bit and make some open space to allow a fresh idea to enter in. Draw the problem instead of writing it. Sit somewhere else and daydream for a moment. Ask someone's opinion on the matter. Brainstorm in the shower. Have a sense of humor in completely rearranging the components of the problem in front of you, or indulge a wild fantasy in which your most fundamental assumptions about your situation are up for question. Hint, they often really are. Creativity often comes down to the unexpected, the strange, the new. So, naturally, you won't remember it doing the same old things you always do. There are no rules in being creative. After all, part of the fun is making them up yourself. And remember, boosting your fluid intelligence this way means that it's transferable. Were you encouraged to play an instrument at school? Many parents do this in the belief that learning to play will indirectly help other areas of a child's life. And they're right. To get more detail, check out Peter Holland's book, NeuroLearning, on Amazon or Audible at bit.ly/NeuroLearningHollands. That link is in the show notes. Also, take a moment to go to Peter Holland's homepage and request the free Human Nature Cheat Sheet, 7 surprising psychology studies that will change the way you think. This has been the Brain Boost Blueprint, how to optimize your brain for peak mental performance, neurogrowth, and cognitive fitness, Mental Models for Better Living, Book 4, written by Peter Hollins, narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2020 by Peter Hollins. Production copyright by Peter Hollins.